Well, welcome. We are going to begin a new study this evening. We're going to look at the book of Numbers together. And so before we even begin reading, I'd just like to thank all of you for your attention and your dedication to the Word, because as we read through the Pentateuch, and you're going to find this with Numbers, that some of the scriptures can seem a bit repetitious, and it can be a little bit laborious to read through and to study, but I commend your diligence. And I'm looking forward to this book of Numbers and learning about just how orderly our God is. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, you never can tell what the Lord's going to do? You never know. Well, I just don't know that that's a true statement. I don't believe it is. Because to me, that's contrary to the scriptures. When we start reading in this book of Numbers, it is absolutely amazing to me how orderly and how thoughtful God is. And I think about the scripture that tells us how Moses knew God's ways, and that the children of Israel, they knew his acts, they saw his acts. But we have the privilege and honor of knowing the ways of God if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. If we'll get in this Word and be diligent to read and to study and allow the Spirit to give us revelation, we'll see our God is a faithful God. He's not a you never know what you're going to get God. He is dependable. He's full of integrity. And he's a God of order. And we're going to see that in this book of Numbers. Now, Numbers is the fourth book of the Pentateuch, and y'all can follow along in your outline, in your study guide, rather. And the Jews called the book of Numbers In the Wilderness. Now, you can get a visual of that, can't you? In the Wilderness. This book is divided into 36 chapters. And it gives us tremendous insight into order, structure, and protocol. God led the Israelites in an orderly manner until they entered into the Promised Land. God was not haphazard with his instructions. He was very structured in his protocol. Now, there are many principles that can be gleaned from the book of Numbers and applied to New Testament practices. And that's where we are. That's what our job is. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to us in this study, is what principles are we to take from this to apply in our everyday lives. Because, you see, this book can become a living word in our hearts if we'll allow it. And yes, we're going to be reading about military census, and yes, we're going to be reading about numbers, but in that, we can learn quite a bit about structure and order and how our churches should be run.
No, it was through the book of Numbers, the Lord showed me a lot concerning church structure and how things should be run in an orderly fashion. And it's interesting to me that Paul refers to these Israelites as the church in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And so there's so much to be gleaned from this if you pay attention. After seeing these things, through conviction, we wrote job descriptions dealing with the church to get things in order, and how important it is to structure around the gifts that God gives you. And most churches structure around a secular mentality. For example, they'll divide Sunday school classes up according to like the grade levels at school. Mm-hmm. They're following a secular method rather than the gifts. And many years ago, the Lord spoke to me one morning as I was praying about a church that we were overseeing at that particular time, and how it was out of order, and that the Sunday school was operating with incompetent teachers. And then he used the word, they just glorified teachers. They don't study the word. Well, he actually didn't call them teachers. He called them glorified babysitters, is what he called them. And how they don't study the word. And he said he wanted that stopped and bring it in to one group. And you're talking about ruffling feathers and kicking over sacred cows and all this kind of stuff. Man, it caused no small stir. But it was the best thing to do. You structure around your gifts. And if you don't have 12 teachers, you don't need 12 classes. You understand? And make sure that they're teachers by God's standard, not teachers by the world's standard. Everybody's a teacher to some degree. Everybody teaches somebody something, right? But we're talking about gifted teachers. And so you structure around the gifts. And you'll find that God has set people apart. And the structure is around those whom God has set apart for particular tasks. And this family group has an assignment. They're not to concern themselves with the assignments of other family groups. They're to focus on what God has called them to do. You with me? And there's some people in the church that think it's their God-given duty to police the world. And God hasn't called you to police the world. God hasn't called anybody in there to run the church. God has not called anybody to be his advisor. The bottom line is he's advising us through his word. And one of the ways he does that is through example that we find right here in the book of Numbers. This is a book of order. But God, there's no one more orderly than God. You go all the way back to Genesis to creation. You're talking about a systematic order. God created things in a systematic order to where when he did create man, the provisions to support that man were already in the earth. You think about it. He didn't create the man and then food. He created the food and then man. And sometimes we get the cart in front of the horse. And God's wanting us to learn proper protocol, proper principle. He wants us to understand job descriptions from the perspective that what has God assigned me to do? Then I need to stay in that sphere that God's assigned me to. Not to be looking over here, what's so-and-so doing? You think about Peter, after Jesus' resurrection, and he's talking to Peter and do you love me more than these and all these? And then he tells them basically that he'll become a martyr for the Lord. My paraphrase, okay? When you were young, you did what you wanted to. When you're old, you're going to do what you don't want to do, okay? And then Peter says, John, what about him? Now, in my vernacular, Jesus said, that's none of your business. What is that to you? You focus on what I've called you to do. And this to me is what Numbers is about. It's, this group focuses on what God's called them to do. This group focuses on what God's called them to do. This group focuses on what God's called them to do. And you'll find where, I'm just going to give you sort of an overview before we get into it, okay? You'll find that God chose the tribe of Levi, for instance, to minister before the Lord. But out of that tribe of Levi, there's three families, the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites, okay? Each one has specific duties. But even out of the family of the Kohathites, God selected Aaron's family exclusively as priest. No one else in the tribe of Levi outside of Aaron's family could minister at the altar. They could assist in slaying the animals, getting the various things ready, but they could not offer that sacrifice on the altar. Okay? They had their assignment. Aaron had his assignment. You follow me? Here's the thing. Everybody here has an assignment. Sadly, many people don't know their assignment, because they're looking for the assignment instead of building a relationship with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord, to where as you fellowship with the Lord, you'll start fulfilling your assignment without putting labels on it. And people looking for a label, looking for a title or whatever. Well, I don't know the will of God. Do what you know to do. What do you know to do? You know to read your Bible? Read it. That's the will of God. Do you know to pray? Pray. That's the will of God. And as you do these things, you know God reveals more to you. And what God reveals to you, you just do it. And at the end of your life, you will have fulfilled your purpose. And you won't be concerned with labels and titles and all this stuff. That's religious stuff. We just want to have an intimacy with the Lord, to where we do things the Lord's way. You follow me? And to me, the book of Numbers gives great insight into all this. Okay? So that's just sort of an overview. I'll turn it back over to Heather.
Okay. So we had just talked about the principles that can be gleaned. And then if you look in your introduction, you'll see that according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, the things that happened to the Israelites were written so we could learn by example. The consequences of their disobedience are warnings for us to avoid following their evil practices. We are living in the last days. Therefore, we must be circumspect and learn from their mistakes.
No, let me explain this. Well, how do you know it's the last days? Because Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and he said, this is that which Joel prophesied, that in the last days God would pour His Spirit out on His flesh. He said, this is what you've seen. Now, if Peter was in the last days, then I'm certain that I am. You follow me? But I can't tell you exactly where I am in the last day. As a matter of fact, Heather and I were discussing this a little bit earlier. You know, people are saying this and people are saying that. What you have is prognosticators that are trying to match this to this. but it's not a word from the Lord. They'll call it prophecy, but it's not prophecy. It's you're trying to match something in the Bible to current events. That's what a prognosticator does, okay? And the truth of the matter is, there's a little thing. You need to look at detail. When you look at Scripture, look at detail. And in that detail, see if there's anything that would refute what you're hearing. You follow me? Then you'll know if it's truth or not. For instance, the armies surrounding Jerusalem. Well, are the armies surrounding Jerusalem right now? No. So then that next statement can't be right now, because this has to happen first. You follow me? And so don't just take things at face value. You look at the detail of all these things. But I promise you we're in the last days. I just don't know when the Lord's coming. And you don't, and nobody else does. God has reserved that information for himself. I know, I can tell you this. He'll come when he's ready. That's when he's coming, okay? But until then, we are to prepare. And we are to occupy. And if you look at that word occupy, the King James uses the word occupy. In the Greek, it means to do business. In other words, you be about the Lord's business until the Lord comes. You follow me? Well, what do I know? How do I know what his business is? I have to pay attention to him. I have to listen to him. You understand? That's what the Word of God's all about. People say, well, I want God to speak to me. Read the Bible and he will. Quit looking for audible voices. You understand? That Word will talk to you. It'll become a living Word, not just something written on a page. That was Israel's problem. The law of Moses just became not a living Word, but a dead letter to them. And consequently, they didn't follow the dead letter. And so we learn what not to do. But we can also learn what to do when they were successful in obeying God. Okay?
That's good. If churches and ministers would follow the principles revealed in the book of Numbers, they would have fewer problems and greater unity. This book helps us to understand the importance of operating in the call and position ordained by God for individuals and ministries.
Now, we'll talk about this a little later, but Israel had an order of march. They had a divine order how to set up camp. They had a divine order how to break camp. And when you look at this, which we're going to, you'll find that it was so systematic. I mean, one thing followed another thing. A, B, C, D. And it was very successful, very orderly. The church so often tries to move ahead without a systematic order. They're trying to just do this, do that, be like somebody else, not following the Spirit of God, not following the instructions of God. When Israel set up camp, it was by the instruction of God. The cloud showed them where to set up camp. You understand? When they were to move and when they were to stay there. To everything, there's a season. We just need to learn the season we're in. Is it time to stay right here in camp? Or is it time to move and not get the two confused? Okay? And so there's a lot to be learned here.
One of the things, one of the pieces of advice, one of the many pieces of advice I have received is don't react, have a plan of action. And what we're going to see in this book of Numbers is that God's got a plan of action. He's got everything all laid out. And it's to the Israelites' benefits if they'll obey and follow his instructions, because everything will be set up perfectly as far as the tabernacle is concerned. You won't have the cart before the horse, so to speak. Everything will be right where it needs to be when it needs to be there. And that's a good thing when we follow God's instructions. So we're going to read this book of Numbers together. And we're going to go verse by verse. And we're going to pronounce all these names together in Southern English, and it's going to be great.
And the first part of this is going to be a lot of reading. Our objective is if you go through this Bible college, that you will have gone through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, you'll go through the Bible. Then you should be familiar with the Bible. We're not giving you a survey of the Bible. We're taking you through the Bible. And so I told Hazard, you know, just read this. It's self-explanatory. And if I, you know, if I'm prompted to make a comment, I will. Otherwise, just listen to the Word of God as she reads, okay?
Okay. So let's read chapter 1, which records the numbering of the nation of Israel according to their tribes. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were coming out of the land of Egypt.
All right, now think about that. You got a timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
After they've made their exodus from Egypt, when is it? First day, second month, the second year. That's the beginning of the second year, is when he gets his instruction concerning the numbering, okay?
Take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their families, with the number of their names, every male by their poll.
Now here's where you have to listen to the detail. Every male.
Mm-hmm.
People think the numbering of Israel and the numbers that they see is the whole nation of Israel, but it isn't. The scripture itself is going to tell you they're numbering the army.
Mm-hmm.
Not a general census, but a military census. And so just pay attention to that as you go through the scriptures. The scriptures are very plain on it. You just have to pay attention.
From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies.
By their armies. You get this? The preceding verse said males. Then this says males 20 years old and above. And then he tells you army. That's how I know it's a military census.
So their militaries were 20 years old and above. Ours are 18, right? 17, really?
Do you know that we used to practice that to a degree when the draft was in place? When you turned 18 years old, males, only males, you had to register with the draft board. You with me? And this is what they're doing. This is 20 years old. And what they're doing is getting the number who are able to go to war. Who are able. Well, that's what the draft is doing. You understand? Those who are physically able to go to war, you sign that. Okay? And so they have a census of the potential of that army. Okay? The potential number.
And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his father.
Here's another detail. If you just look at it, Moses, you and Aaron number the people. Well, you could just run off with that. But if you keep reading, he says it's not just Moses and Aaron, but it's the leader of each of these tribes, these 12 tribes. And you'll find that Levi is excluded. And so it would be 11 tribes. Manasseh divided into two armies. Okay. And so each one, each leader is to be included. They're responsible for their tribe. Do you understand?
Okay. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben: Elazar, the son of Shedeur; of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai; of Judah, Nathan, the son of Amminadab; of Issachar, Nathaniel, the son of Zuar; of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon; of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Amminahad; of Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur; of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni; of Dan, Ahiezer, the son of Amminashaddai; of Asher, Pagaliel, I did that wrong.
Pagiel,
the son of Ochran; of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Duel; of Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel.
Now, think about this. It was when you get over to Numbers, the 13th chapter, the ones that go in to spy out the land will be the heads of the tribe. It's not some flunky. It's not just some common person. You understand? No, this is the men of renown. Okay? The political figures, if you will, that have this responsibility. Okay? And then it's the same way here in the numbering. These are leaders that are numbering.
And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their families, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their polls.
Now notice that it didn't say which year there. It's the first day of the second month. But your preceding verses, you'll find that it tells you it was the second year. Okay?
As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai.
That tells you where the numbering took place, okay?
And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their families, according to the number of the names by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500.
So that tells you out of one tribe, there's an army of 46,500 people, men, okay? And you'll see this with each one of these. It's giving the army of that tribe. And then when you put all the tribes together, you get the number of Israel's army, okay?
Mm-hmm. Of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300.
You're getting the picture of how this is folding, unfolding, and you're getting every verse here is substantiating that it's a military census. That is the males, okay? So he's a number of the army.
And of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 40,650. Of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Judah, were 64,600.
Give them the number.
74,600.
Mm-hmm.
Of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the numbers of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400.
A score is 20. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's how we come up with the numbers. And we don't say it just like they do. So we're looking at 54,400 is the way we would say this. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. 57,400. Of the children of Joseph, namely, of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500.
All right. There's something else you can pick up here. It says the tribe of Joseph, but then it gets specific with Ephraim. Now, we know that Manasseh was also Joseph's son, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he deals with Joseph, so often he's using Ephraim interchangeably with Joseph. That'll help you later on.
Yeah.
Because when Israel split into two different kingdoms, the 10 kingdoms, that went with Jeroboam, the two kingdoms, the kingdom of 10 tribes with Jeroboam, the two tribes with Rehoboam. That 10 tribes was often referred to as Ephraim. Okay? But he's talking about the son of Joseph, really. But Joseph got the double portion, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Joseph has two tribes here.
Manasseh's name.
But you have to, this is just bits of information that will help you understand this thing. That Manasseh was also his son. But Israel is often referred to as Ephraim. If you remember the blessing that Jacob blessed, he put Ephraim first. Ephraim was the younger, right? But he put him first. Okay.
Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200.
This is before Manasseh divides. This is when Manasseh is one tribe. It wasn't until after the war they wanted to stay on the east side of Jordan rather than go to the west side of Jordan. Half of Manasseh stayed on the east side and half went over the Jordan and got their possession in the west side. Okay, but at this time, this is in the wilderness, at Sinai, and so they're one tribe. Okay, not split.
Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. So 35,400. And of the children of Dan by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. 62,700. Thank you. We'll finish this. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. So 41,500. And of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their fathers, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400, so 53,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers.
Have you noticed how many times it's been reiterated? Those who were able to go to war. Those who were able to go to war. Those who were able to go to war. So, I don't know why people miss this and thinking that's the number of the whole nation when it's only the number of the armies of the nation. And it's very plain as many times as he repeats it.
I know why. Just skip right over it. Just keep going. That's why. All right. Now's a good place for us to stop. We did get our signal. So we'll come back together and we'll pick up with verse 45 when we get back together.